Sado Bhagavan అయం తద్గతామిష్టభియోషనధ్యాం మనోవారణక్లేశదావాగ్నిదగ్ధః సుశాదోగాదోన సంహారదాహం న నిష్కానదే బ్రహ్మ సంపన్నవన్నః సిద్ధావచ అయం తద్గతామిష్టభియోషనధ్యాం మనోవారణక్లేశదావాగ్నిదగ్ధః న నిష్కామదే బ్రహ్మ సంపన్నవన్నః అయం తత్కదామిష్టభియోషనధ్యాం మనోవారణక్లేశదావాగ్నిదగ్ధః సుశాదోగాదనసంస్మారధావం న నిష్కామతి బ్రహ్మ సంపన్నవన్నః సిద్ధౌచు అయం తత్కదామిష్టభియోషనధ్యాం మనోవారణక్లేశదావాగ్నిదగ్ధః సుశాదోగాదోనసంస్మారధావం న నిష్కామతి బ్రహ్మ సంపన్నవన్నః సిద్ధావచు అయం తత్కదామిష్టభియోషనధ్యాం మనోవారణః క్లేశదావాగ్నిదగ్ధః సుశాదోగాదోనసంస్మారధావం న నిష్కామతి బ్రహ్మ సంపన్నవన్నః
సిద్ధ
Tvatkata,
our pastimes,
Mrishta,
pure,
Piyusha,
of nectar,
Nadyam,
in the river,
Mana,
of the mind,
Varana,
of
Klesha,
sufferings,
Davagni,
By the forest fire.
Dagda.
Burned.
Trisha.
Thirst.
Artha.
Afflicted.
Avagada.
Being immersed.
Nasasmara.
Does not remember.
Dhavam.
Forest fire. Na Nishkramati. Not coming out. Brahma.
Absolute.
Sampannava. Like having merged.
Na. Our.
Translation is, it is prayed like an elephant that has suffered in the forest fire but can forget all its troubles by entering a river. Our minds, O Lord, always merged in the nectarian river of your transcendental pastimes and desire never to leave such transcendental bliss which is good as the pleasure of merging in the Absolute. Therefore, this statement is from the Siddhas, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, where the eight kinds of material perfection are complete. The residents of Siddhaloka have full control of the eight kinds of yoga perfection, but from their statement it appears that they are pure devotees. They always merge in the nectarian river of hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Hearing of the pastimes of the Lord is called Krishna Sada. Similarly, there is a statement by Prahlad Maharaj that those who are always merged in the ocean of the nectar of describing the Lord's pastimes are liberated and have no fear of material conditions of life. The Siddhas say that the mind of an ordinary person is full of anxieties. The example is given of the elephant who has suffered in a forest fire and enters into a river for relief. The persons who are suffering in the forest fire of this material existence, to only enter into the nectarian river of the description of the pastimes of the Lord, they will forget all the troubles of the miserable material existence. Siddhas do not care for fruitive activities such as performing sacrifices and achieving good results. They simply merge in the transcendental discussions of the pastimes of the Lord. That makes them completely happy without care for pious or impious activities. For those who are always in Krishna consciousness, there is no need for any kind of pious or impious sacrifices or activities. Krishna consciousness is itself complete, for it includes all the processes praised in the scriptures. Translation: the siddhas pray like an elephant that has suffered in a forest fire but can forget all its troubles by entering a river. Our minds, O Lord, always merge in the carried river of your transcendental pastimes, and they desire never to leave such transcendental bliss, which is as good as the pleasure of merging in the absolute. So here the siddhas now offer their prayers to the eight arm formed of Vishnu, who has appeared in the sacrifice. So they are talking about the troubles of this material world, which are like a forest fire. It is characterized by burning everything. So that means that no animal can escape. So similarly, the material world is such that no one can escape miseries here. What is the solution? So here we have the elephant jumping into the river, and in this way he escapes from the suffering. So the siddhas say that the escape from the material misery is to do that. One has to simply listen to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So they're like the river, and they give relief from material suffering. So that is true, because we know that any type of bhakti will destroy misery. Kleshagni is the one of the effects of bhakti. It will destroy all the misery. So, of course, hearing the topics of the Lord can do this, and other processes as well. That, of course, is not the ultimate goal of hearing about the Lord, to simply get rid of the miseries, but nevertheless, this is the main object of many people, to get rid of their miseries. So, an easy solution to this is hearing about the Supreme Lord. So we may ask, how does that happen? How can simply hearing destroy the miseries of the material world? So, the answer is that the miseries are caused by karma. We do activities and we get results. Those results cause the miseries. By hearing about the Supreme Lord, we destroy those karmas. We destroy not only future karmas that we will commit, acts we will commit with their results, but those karmas, acts we've done in the past, which give results now, those karmas are also destroyed. So we cut off future production of karmas, and we also eliminate all the karmas that have accrued in the past. So in this way, one becomes free of misery, because the karma is the cause of the misery. So if we hear about the Lord, this will cut away the karmas. Of course, there are various levels of this. So we hear that from the story of Achumil, that he accidentally chanted the name of the Lord, and that freed him from his karmas. That is one level where we accidentally may hear or chant or whatever. So that does something also. Of course, if we hear with devotion, or chant with devotion, then we have even a greater effect. So, the accidental chanting of the name, or even hearing about it, is enough to destroy karmas and destroy misery. So that can be done. If we have devotion and we hear and chant, we get much more than that. So if the hearing and chanting accidentally destroys all the karmas, what more can be destroyed? So nothing more is destroyed, but bhakti is created. So that is what is extra. So those who actually hear with devotion and chant with devotion, and not only destroy karmas, but they also get bhakti. And that bhakti increases until they attain the Supreme Lord. So if we don't do that, we simply destroy the karmas, then we can get liberation. But if we chant with devotion, then we get the Supreme Lord. So that is the difference. So yes, hearing about the topics of the Lord destroys all karmas, but if we chant with devotion, we get much more than that. There's only one stage. So that is why it is said on the stage of Bhava that moksha lubhukrits. On the stage of Bhava, moksha is regarded as insignificant. So that stage, when one sees Krishna, one considers liberation to be useless, insignificant. So one has surpassed liberation. All karmas are destroyed, but one has much more than that. So we should not think that the only result of bhakti is destruction of misery. That is an insignificant effect of bhakti. It happens, but it is a significant effect. So, of course, for other people, this is a big effect, because it is very difficult to destroy karma. It's very difficult to extinguish a forest fire. How to get out of a forest fire is difficult. But the process of bhakti will allow one to rise above the material world completely. So this is an effective way. That is not to say that other processes also do not do this. So jnana also frees one from misery, because knowledge means destruction of ignorance. Ignorance is the cause of bondage. So by jnana also we can do this. The difference is that the jnana process is very difficult and long. One will continue burning in the forest fire for a long time, as long as one is practicing that process. Not only that, but the jnana process is actually dependent on bhakti. And without some bhakti, that process also doesn't work. So it is not an independent, complete process. It depends on bhakti also. Bhakti does not depend on jnana or karma or anything. Jnana depends on bhakti. So that is another difference. So you'll see the effect is different. So the limit of jnana is destruction of karma. It does not give you, in a sense, it does not give you bhakti or anything. So therefore, the effect of bhakti is much more. And of course, Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita, very quickly I will deliver you from the ocean of samsara. So the process is much quicker than the process of jnana, because the Lord is merciful to the devotees. So the Lord personally helps the devotees, and this quickens the whole process. That means in the process of jnana, the Lord is rather indifferent. We cannot say he doesn't help, but his help is much, much less. And the bhakti, of course, is very little there. So therefore, the effect is much slower. So comparatively speaking, bhakti is much, much superior. So though one may get this, it talks about here, Brahman Sampannava, one gets relief as if one is in Brahman. We should not think that this is the final goal of bhakti. They can do that, definitely. So it is as good as Brahman, but it is much more than Brahman. And it is accomplished much quicker. So to get the effect of Brahman, one has to endeavor, have great endeavor. So you can't just jump in the river, so to speak. It requires much more endeavor to get relief from the material world through the process of jnana. Process of bhakti, you just have to jump in the river. So it's a much easier process. Of course, that from this we can also understand that the siddhas are not the highest devotees. They appreciate bhakti and the Supreme Lord, but they do not appreciate the highest aspect, so therefore they're comparing the Supreme Lord to attaining of Brahman. But we should understand, actually, the Lord is much, much superior to that, and the whole process of bhakti and hearing the Lord's pastimes is much superior to that. So there's actually no comparison between the two things. And thus, we'll find in the Nectar of Devotion of Rupa Goswami, often he is in several places, he has extensively quoted to show that the process of bhakti is much superior to liberation. And that is, you can say, evident when one reaches prema. So one of the qualities of prema is that it is full of very condensed bliss. So whatever bliss one may get from Brahman is nothing compared to the bliss one gets from bhakti in prema. So if one achieves prema, then the bliss of liberation is also insignificant. So that the bliss of prema is much, much more. So Rupa Goswami has quoted many verses to show this, particularly from the Bhagavatam. So the devotees in prema, then liberation is actually useless. Totally useless. But even if one is not in prema, even if one is in bhava, still the devotee rejects liberation is useless. Because by the stage of bhava, he has surpassed that the Gandhi and whatever, because he has some contact, he has some realization of the Supreme Lord at that point. So even that little contact with the Supreme Lord is enough to give realization that liberation is actually insignificant compared to bhakti. So what that means is that liberation is spiritual, definitely, and it is an aspect of the Supreme Lord, because everything spiritual is related to the Lord. But it is a minor aspect of the Lord, and therefore it is insignificant. We should treasure everything in relation to the Lord, but because Brahman is a minor aspect of the Lord, therefore it is considered to be insignificant. So thus the example is given of the Brahman being like light, and then the Krishna in his form, and prema being like the actual deity in the sun. There's a difference there. So, Brahman is a minor aspect of the Supreme Lord, even though it's non-different from him. So that is the understanding presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. No, he was a brahmana, not a real devotee.
Okay. But anyway, at the time of death, you are calling Nana after his son's name. In the end, he gave
him another Nana. Yeah. Especially when he listened to the verses, or the talking of the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas, that's when he really changed. And then he became a devotee after that, and he went to Haridwar and he performed bhakti after that. Then he went to Vaikuntha because of that. So the chanting that Namabhas was a cause for further advancement through the association of the Vishnudutas. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, of course, the word pure devotee has got many, there's a broad, expansive meaning, pure devotee, because we can say even the initial sadhaka is an uttama bhakta, so he's also a pure devotee, because they're practicing devotion, and understanding the Supreme Lord, and rejecting all the other processes. They're not mixed devotees in that way. They may not be pure, they are at least following the process. Who? Anyone?
Devotees.
Devotees. Of course, the Lord says, "I will save my devotee, and not my bhakta pranasthiti, etc." So He's always taking care of the devotees. They may all not go to Vaikuntha immediately if they're not purified, because it takes many births in many cases, but at least the Lord takes care of the devotees and protects them.
When a devotee leaves his body, at that time Krishna will incarnate in his mind
Whatever, according to the devotee, of course. Devotees who are more advanced will get more mercy than those who are less advanced, because they have more attraction for the Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord is merciful to all devotees of any status, more than He's merciful to karmis or jnanis or yogis or anybody else. So definitely He is merciful. But according to the devotee, then He will make His appearance in different ways. The more advanced they are, the more He will appear to them.
But the karmis, when He leaves the body, at the time of death, all His sinful activities will come in His mind.
As it's explained in Bhagavatam, also in the 4th canto, the story of Paranjana, and when a person dies, then, for instance, Narada Muni gives the story of the person dying and what he sees. So he sees all the animals coming to torture the guy because he was killing all the animals. So he gets misery, in other words. It depends, of course, on the person, but generally simple people are going to suffer when they die. In the process of dying, they suffer because they're in anxiety, and of course, after they suffer because of hellish punishment. In either case, they suffer.
Bhakti means one has to serve the devotees, and Bhakti means also one has to serve the devotees. Bhakti means one has to serve the devotees, proper shape. And Bhakti also means, serving the devotees, one is the
Bhakti. Of course, Mukti is included in Bhakti anyway. So if one serves the devotee, it's fine. But even if one is not interested much in devotees, unless one performs some bhakti, one cannot even get liberation. Even if one doesn't want by tantra, one still cannot get liberation without service of some sort to the Lord or the devotees. And if he offends the devotees, obviously you can't get anything.
What is this statement by the Siddha is technically not correct?
What's that?
The statement made is not correct.
Oh, as good as a pleasure emerging in absolute. Well, obviously not. If we say that, then the whole purpose of Bhagavatam is defeated. That means Brahman is as good as Krishna. But we know obviously it's not. It gives relief. It does give relief. That, to the extent it gives relief like the Brahman, yes, because you get liberation. But actually it's not exactly equivalent. What's that?
Siddhas, where are they situated?
This is somewhere in between Bhuloka, Bhurloka, that is above Bhuloka, our place, but below Svargaloka. The Siddhas, Charanas, Vidyadharas, other entities reside in that area.
The anecdote used here in this loka, the forest fire, the elephant getting stuck and falling into the river. But actually this doesn't happen in the human beings because of the ego and the additional facility what they have, the thinking power. They think that they can themselves come out and they don't surrender or just take up the process of bhakti. What can be the real solution for this ignorance for the people?
Association devotees. Only by association they can improve. Mercy of devotees.
Prabhupada talked about Diksha and Diksha Guru. And you say Diksha Guru is Bhajan Diksha Guru. Prabhupada talked about Diksha Guru. You say Bhajan Diksha Guru. Bhajan. Bhajan means hearing about Krishna or Chita and everything. So, they get from Diksha Guru also.
Shikshu Guru means gives teachings. So in other words, anyone who gives teachings is a guru. They may not give diksha, which means mantra, but they give teachings of some sort. Teachings about Krishna, teachings about the process of bhakti, whatever. And so they are called guru also because of that. Another person may give a mantra, which means a secret mantra. So that is called diksha.
Does it mean that only when you have
diksha,
when you
get
connected to the
parampara? No. That's only a mantra. So we see that Pariksha didn't take diksha from Sukadeva. Sukadeva didn't take diksha from Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva didn't take diksha from Narada Muni.
But we can't say, oh, can I fall down because of that?
Usually in a moment you see that you're not initiated letting go. You're not
well, of course, if one is serious, one will also take initiation. But more important than that is, if you take initiation but you don't know anything, what is the use? Because the real purpose of Guru is to also give knowledge.
Yeah.
One must have knowledge also.
But if you leave this open, there will be many things that I will not take. I think just be taking diksha, then I will not take diksha.
It's also possible. But of course, the Goswamis do recommend diksha for deity worship, etc.
By this statement of Siddhartha, can we say although the planetary position is lower, but their understanding is more evolved?
Then?
Then others like the Pagunis or the sages or the performance of the sacrifice or the.
Well, they're high, yeah, they have some higher thing. They're just below the Devadas.
But King Indra's statement was not like this. King Indra's statement was only about protection.
Well, this also is protection in a sense. You save us from miseries, isn't it? Same thing. Well, that's the whole point. This is a partial statement. Bhakti does more than simply destroy karma. It creates bhakti and prema. So, it's, as I said, it's not a complete statement. But for most people, this is what they first appreciate. It destroys misery, so that's very good for them. But also, jnana is the same thing. The overworld is the same thing. You can get liberation.
The asuras cannot absorb the heavenly planets, but how they require the demigods?
Hmm? Well, temporary. You know, they get temporary cities, and powers, etc. to do something. But there's, you know, ultimately they cannot maintain that status.
Dharantara Sri Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Holiness Bhan Maharaj ki jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sadhu Kamalandesh ki jai.